So I'm going to start with a little test. There's one painting missing over there. Let me see a show of hands, those of you who know what is the content of that painting, the one that's missing. Let me see. Hands first, how many think they know? And then I'm going to pick at random one hand to see if you really know. Yes, sir. What's missing? Which painting is that? I didn't ask you. I asked him. Which painting? You put your hand up. You should know. Okay, Alexandra. Krishna, and who's the central figure with Krishna? No, Yashoda. That's why I brought it up, because whenever I chant Jai Radha Madhava, when I get to that line, Yashoda Nandana, I'm always fixed on that painting. So when it's not here, I really realize that it's not here. But please take advantage. Every single painting that you see on the walls and on the ceiling, some people don't even realize their painting's on the ceiling. Every single painting has a very deep story attached to it. So if you come here more than once, you should know these stories. If you don't know, ask the devotees who live here. They'll be happy to share with you. But every single painting here has deep meaning. Prabhupada said these paintings are windows to the spiritual world. So who would not like to look through a window into the spiritual world? Why do we want to look through our neighbor's window? You're going to see the same thing you see in your own house. A toaster oven, a refrigerator, You're not going to see anything special. But if you can look through a window into the spiritual world, why would you not want to take advantage? So please, take advantage of all these paintings. The devotees who did these paintings, they were specially empowered by Srila Prabhupada. Some of them had some fine art training. A lot of them barely knew how to draw a line straight. But by Prabhupada's demand and Prabhupada's empowering them, they produced all this wonderful artwork. So please take advantage of it, okay? So today we are continuing our celebration of the appearance of Rukmini Devi. As we know, we should know, we're all sitting here, Sri Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the fountainhead of everything. Everything emanates from Krishna. Krishna has his eternal consort, Radharani, who's actually non-different from him. They're the same personality, but expanded for pastimes. But it doesn't stop there. It's not that there's Krishna, Radha, and then that's it. No, Krishna being unlimitedly potent continues expanding unlimitedly. And every time Krishna expands, Radharani expands to go with him as his consort. There's a verse in the fourth chapter of the Adi Leela of the Chaitanya Charitamrita that says, Devi Krishnamayi Prokta Radhika Paradevata Sarva Lakshmi Mayi Sarva Kanti Sanmoyanam Para, that all of the goddesses of fortune in all the different spiritual planets and whatever incarnations you see Krishna comes as consorts, these are all expanded from Srimati Radharani. So just as Krishna is the fountainhead of all expansions, Radharani is the fountainhead of all the female consorts that accompany Krishna in all his activities. So when Krishna came to this planet about 5,000 years ago, it was a lot nicer place. Seriously, I took a picture of the Yamuna River, Agat on the Yamuna, back in 1995, I think it was. And it just reminded me that in the span of 20 years, my first trip to India was in 76, how the Yamuna River had deteriorated because of industrial pollution and neglect. It was practically, it's unfit for human use. It just looks like a brown wasteland. But just imagine 5,000 years ago how pristine and beautiful Vrindavan, land of Vrindavan was. So when Krishna comes to this material world, once in a day of Brahma, he comes to this planet and he presents his eternal Leela pastimes, not only from Goloka, the Vrindavan pastimes from Goloka, but Goloka encompasses other pastimes also. The planet, Krishna's planet Goloka, which is the topmost spiritual planet, encompasses different moods. So there's the Vrindavan mood when he comes, and in that mood, he's a cowherd boy, simply sporting with his friends. God tends cows as sport. So I say this jokingly many times, but if you don't like cows, why would you want to go back to the planet of the cows, Goloka? So you can start practicing now by liking the cows. Seriously. If you don't like cows, why would you want to hang out with Krishna? That's what he does. All day long, he's out playing with his boyfriends with the cows, and Mother Yashoda has to beg him to come home and eat. He's so enthralled hanging out with the cows. So Krishna, in that mood, he doesn't get married. In Vrindavan, Krishna does not marry. He has loving pastimes with his gopi girlfriends. Some foolish people, they can't understand this. So they like Dwarka Krishna, but they don't like Gopi Krishna because they say this is immoral. Krishna is dancing with other men's wives. Such foolish people, they don't understand that everything and everyone belongs to Krishna. There's nothing that belongs to anyone else. Everything belongs to Krishna. Whatever we have, we're making plans. You know, especially the guys like to make plans. When I die, I'll leave this for my dear wife and for my dear daughter and their son and this and that. It's not yours. It's not yours. You're making plans like it belongs to you, but it does not belong to you. Everything belongs to Krishna. This is real knowledge. This is the beginning of real knowledge, real vision, to see everything belongs to Krishna and should be used in Krishna's service. So these gopis that are dancing with Krishna as unmarried girlfriends, that is called Parakiya Rasa. So Krishna enjoys this boyfriend, girlfriend. Where do we get that taste from? It's coming from God. It's coming from Krishna. We've all gone through that stage. Most of us here are married or have been married or want to get married. But where does that mood come from? We've all been through that mood of boyfriend, girlfriend. This is coming from Krishna, from God. Eternally, Krishna is manifesting this Vrindavan pastime, this mood of boyfriend, girlfriend, not married. The gopis, some of them are married and they're yearning for Krishna. Again, somebody may think this is immoral, but it's not. Krishna, they know that Krishna is the supreme. I belong to Krishna. Superficially, I may be married to this guy or that guy, but I belong to Krishna. This is the mood. But Krishna also, when he came 5,000 years ago, he manifests another mood, the Dwarka Leela. How many of you have been to Dwarka? Only a few. Yes. So Dwarka is on the west coast of India. And so Krishna leaves all the way from Vrindavan and he goes to Dwarka. And in this Dwarka mood, in this mood of Dwarkadisha, Dwarka is the place, Dwarka, the place of Krishna's Leela. And Isha means controller. So Krishna is the controller of Dwarka. He's the controller of everything. But Dwarkadish means the controller of Dwarka. So when he accepts this mood, the Dwarkadish mood, again, Vrindavan, he's tending cows, he's playing, he's no such thing as, you know, majestic control of anything. Actually, in Vrindavan, he manifests that he's being controlled by his devotees. That's the mood there. The cowherd boys, they control Krishna, they fight, they play fight. When they win, Krishna has to carry them on his shoulders. When Mother Yashoda is saying, Krishna, come home and take your bath and eat. Your father, who's Krishna's father? Nanda Maharaj. Nanda Maharaj, Nanda Baba will not eat until you come home, so please come home, take your bath and eat. And then Krishna says to his boyfriends, well, you know, I have to go home, my mother's calling. And they say, what if you go home? Don't come back. We're not going to play with you anymore if you leave now. We're just at the height of our fun. And so Krishna goes back and plays with the boys. And Mother Yashoda says, beg him, please come home. So in Vrindavan, he's not exhibiting his majestic mood of controlling everything. He's showing the mood of being controlled by the love of his devotees. But then in this Dwarka mood, he's more in a majestic mood. We know in Dwarka, Krishna marries how many wives? 16,108. So Prabhupada said in one lecture, why 16,100? It could have been 16 million, 16 billion. We have trouble taking care of one wife. Thank you, Narayani. Narayani knows my lines. But it's a fact. It's a fact. In this material world, in Kali Yuga especially, it is difficult to maintain one wife. And why put it that way? It's difficult for a wife to stay with this guy, you know, who thinks he's the controller, the boss, right? Little does he know. See a lot of heads nodding over here. So relationships in Kali Yuga are extremely difficult. The institution of marriage is practically gone, shut. Nobody has that commitment anymore. So Krishna, he shows supreme commitment in his Dwarka Leela. Not only does he have a wife, more than one wife, 16,108. So amongst these 16,108, there are eight principal queens, and amongst those eight, the topmost is Rukmini. So, we heard on Thursday, because that was the actual appearance day, we heard about Krishna kidnapping Rukmini, how he married her, and then how he humiliated her brother. What was his brother's name? Rukmi. Yes? Hey, they're all paying attention. So, but then there are many other pastimes. So tonight I'm going to read one. Prabhupada was fond of this particular pastime. He was fond of everything. I mean, he wrote his Krishna book, but some of you may not know that. In this garden, in the back here, Prabhupada's garden, Prabhupada would sit down in the evening quite often and have one of his disciples read to him his own Krishna book. He would sit there and ask this one of his disciples to read from Krishna book. He wrote the book, but he loved hearing from it. But we're so smart and so busy, we don't take the time to hear from Krishna book. This is a shame. Because again, this Krishna book is opening up the spiritual world for us. When we hear Krishna's Leela from Krishna's pure devotee, it is like being there. So Prabhupada is very fond of this pastime. This is chapter 60 from the Krishna book. I'm going to read. Hopefully, time permitting, we can finish it. And this is called Talks Between Krishna and Rukmini. Very, very instructive chapter. Once upon a time, Lord Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the bestower of all knowledge upon all living entities, from Brahma to the insignificant ant, was sitting in the bedroom of Rukmini, who was engaged in the service of the Lord along with her assistant maidservants. Krishna was sitting on the bedstead of Rukmini, and the maidservants were fanning him with chamaras. What is a chamara? Let's see if everybody knows. Where do we get the chamara from? Somebody said. It's a yak tail. And I always tell people, because students, when they come here, you know, I show them around, we show them the fans. I say, we don't kill the yak to get the tail. We don't. When the yak dies a natural death, they take the tail and they make the chamara. Okay? So they're fanning Krishna with these chamaras. Lord Krishna's dealings with Rukmini as a perfect husband are a perfect manifestation of the supreme perfection of the personality of Godhead. You have to read Prabhupada's Krishna book. The sentences are so beautifully constructed. I'll read that one again. Lord Krishna's dealings with Rukmini as a perfect husband are a perfect manifestation of the supreme perfection of the personality of Godhead. There are many philosophers who propound a concept of the absolute truth in which God cannot do this or that. They deny the incarnation of God or the supreme absolute truth in human form. But actually, the fact is different. God cannot be subject to our imperfect sensual activities. He is the all-powerful, omnipresent personality of Godhead. And by His supreme will, He can not only create, maintain, and annihilate the whole cosmic manifestation, but also descend as an ordinary human being to execute the highest mission. As stated in the Bhagavad Gita, whenever there are discrepancies in the discharge of human occupational duties, He descends. He is not forced to appear by any external agency, but He descends by His own internal potency in order to reestablish the standard functions of human activities and simultaneously annihilate the disturbing elements in the progressive march of human civilization. Beautifully constructed sentences. In accordance with this principle of the transcendental pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, He descended in His eternal form as Sri Krishna in the dynasty of the Yadus. So Prabhupada once said, I didn't write these books, actually. He said, Krishna wrote these books. So when we hear Prabhupada's Krishna book, we're hearing from Lord Krishna Himself. We should take it like that. Prabhupada continues, the palace of Rukmini was wonderfully furnished. Hanging from the ceiling were many canopies with laces bedecked with pearl garlands, and the whole palace was illuminated by the effulgence of valuable jewels. There were many flower groves of Mallika and Chameli, which are considered the most fragrant flowers in India. There were many clusters of these plants with blooming flowers enhancing the beauty of the palace. And because of the exquisite fragrance of the flowers, little groups of humming bees gathered around the trees, and at night the pleasing moonshine glittered through the network of holes in the windows. There were many heavily flowered trees of Parijata, and the mild wind stirred the fragrance of the flowers all around. Incense burned within the walls of the palace, and the fragrant smoke leaked out of the window shutters. Within the room were mattresses covered with white bedsheets. The bedding was as soft and white as milk foam. No plastic here. No plastic. And we're not talking about memory foam. We're talking about milk foam here. In this situation, Lord Sri Krishna sat very comfortably and enjoyed the service of Rukmini Ji, who was assisted by her maidservants. Rukmini was very eager to get the opportunity to serve her husband, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. She therefore wanted to serve the Lord personally and took the handle of the chamara from the hand of a maidservant and began to move the fan. The handle of the chamara was made of gold and bedecked with valuable jewels, and it became more beautiful when taken by Rukmini because all of her fingers were beautifully set with jeweled rings. So again, all these tendencies that we have, the ladies to bedeck themselves with jewels, this is natural. It's coming from the original source of everything. Krishna decorates himself very nicely, Radharani, Rukmini, all of this art of decorating. It's actually an art to learn how to decorate, not just willy-nilly, but there's an art which jewels go together and how to make flower crowns. And I mean, these are all arts, 64 arts in total that Radharani and all the gopis know. Her legs were decorated with jeweled ankle bells, which rang very softly between the pleats of her sari. Rukmini's raised breasts were smeared with kumkum and saffron. Thus her beauty was enhanced by the reflection of the reddish color emanating from her covered breasts. Her high hips were decorated with a jeweled lace girdle, and a locket of great effulgence hung on her neck. Above all, because she was engaged in the service of Lord Krishna, although at that time she was old enough to have grown-up sons, her beautiful body was beyond compare in the three worlds. Navayovanam, never aging. This is our birthright, to not worry about old age, disease, death. This is an impetus to go back to Godhead. When we take account of her beautiful face, it appears that the curling hair on her head, the beautiful earrings on her ears, her smiling mouth, and her necklace of gold all combined to shower rains of nectar. And thus it was definitely proved that Rukmini was none other than the original goddess of fortune, who was always engaged in the service of the lotus feet of Narayan. The pastimes of Krishna and Rukmini in Dwarka are accepted by great authorities as manifestations of those of Narayan and Lakshmi, which are of an exalted opulence. So again, when Krishna is in Vrindavan, it's all village life, everything simple. They're smearing cow dung everywhere, and the cow's dust is everywhere, and everything very simple. But in Dwarka, majestic. The pastimes of Radha and Krishna in Vrindavan are simple and rural, distinguished from the polished urban characteristics of those of Dwarka. The characteristics of Rukmini were unusually bright, and Krishna was very much satisfied with her behavior. Krishna had experienced that when Rukmini was offered a Parijata flower by Narada Muni, Satyabhama had become envious of her co-wife and had immediately demanded a similar flower from Krishna. So you may stop to wonder, is she a pure devotee or what? How can she demand anything from Krishna? But this is Leela, this is pastime. Krishna enjoys when his devotees take a superior role and order him and demand something. But we shouldn't imitate that. Don't come in front of Krishna and demand something. Just come in front of Krishna and ask for service. In fact, she could not be pacified until she was promised the whole tree. And Krishna actually fulfilled his promise. He brought the tree down to the earth planet from the heavenly kingdom. After this episode, Krishna expected that because Satyabhama had been rewarded with a full tree of Parijata, Rukmini would also demand something. Rukmini did not mention anything of the incident, however, for she was grave and simply satisfied in her service. See, different personalities. Rukmini is more of the easygoing, cooperative wife, and Satyabhama is more of the firebrand. You must bring me that Parijata plate, or else. She's like that, and Rukmini is more the laid-back. So Krishna enjoys unlimited rasa, taste. Every devotee means all of us also. We have a special relationship with Krishna. My relationship is not exactly like yours or yours or yours. Everybody's relationship is unique. So although from a technical, philosophical point of view, we're all the same as individual jivas, but in our relationship with Krishna, unique. Everybody's relationship is completely different. Krishna wanted to see her a bit irritated because she's so laid back and easygoing. He wanted to poke her. So Krishna wanted to see her a bit irritated, and therefore he schemed to see the beautiful face of Rukmini in an irritated condition. Now, a word to the wise husbands here, don't try this at home. Although Krishna had more than 16,100 wives, he used to behave with each of them with familial affection. He would create a particular situation between himself and his wife in which the wife would criticize him in the irritation of love, and Krishna would enjoy this. In this case, because Krishna could not find any fault with Rukmini, for she was very grave and always engaged in his service, he smilingly, in great love, began to speak to her just to provoke her loving anger. Rukmini was the daughter of King Bhishmaka, a powerful king. Thus, Krishna did not address her as Rukmini. He addressed her this time as the princess. Quote, "My dear princess, it is very surprising. Many great personalities in the royal order wanted to marry you. Although not all of them were kings, all possessed the opulence and riches of the kingly order. They were very well behaved, learned, famous among kings, beautiful in their bodily features and personal qualifications, liberal, very powerful in strength, and advanced in every respect. They were not unfit in any way. And over and above that, your father and your brother had no objection to such a marriage. On the contrary, they gave their word of honor that you should be married with Shishupal. Indeed, the marriage was sanctioned by both your parents. Shishupal was a great king and was so lusty and mad after your beauty that if he had married you, I think, he would always have remained with you just like your faithful servant. In comparison to Shishupal, with his personal qualities, I am nothing." This is Krishna speaking. "I am nothing. And you may personally realize it. I am surprised that you rejected the marriage with Shishupal and accepted me, who am inferior in comparison to Shishupal. I think myself completely unfit to be your husband because you are so beautiful, sober, grave, and exalted. May I inquire from you the reason that induced you to accept me? Now, of course, I may address you as my beautiful wife, but still I may inform you of my actual position, that I am inferior to all those princes who wanted to marry you. First of all, you may know that I was so much afraid of Jarasandha that I could not dare live on the land, and thus I have constructed this house within the water of the sea." So this is confirmation that Dwarka was not on the mainland, because some people think like that, that the original Dwarka existed on the mainland. But Krishna himself is saying here, "I constructed this house in the sea." So it was a little off the coast. "It is not my business to disclose this secret to others, but you must know that I am not very heroic. I am a coward. I am afraid of my enemies. Still, I am not safe because all the great kings of the land are inimical to me. I have personally created this inimical feeling by fighting with them in many ways. Another fault is that although I am on the throne of Dwarka, I have no immediate claim. Although I got a kingdom by killing my maternal uncle Kamsa, the kingdom was to go to my grandfather, so actually I have no possession of a kingdom. Besides that, I have no fixed aim in life." This is God speaking. "I have no fixed aim in life. People cannot understand me very well. What is the ultimate goal of my life? They know very well that I was a coward boy in Vrindavan." Again, this is proving another point, because some people think that Dwarka Krishna is completely different from Vrindavan Krishna. But Krishna is saying, "I'm the same person. They know very well that I was a coward boy in Vrindavan. People expected that I would follow in the footsteps of my foster father, Nanda Maharaj, and be faithful to Srimati Radharani and all her friends in the village of Vrindavan. But all of a sudden I left them. I wanted to become a famous prince. Still, I could not have any kingdom, nor could I rule as a prince. People are bewildered about my ultimate goal of life. They do not know whether I am a coward boy or a prince, whether I am the son of Nanda Maharaj or the son of Vasudev. Because I have no fixed aim in life, people may call me a vagabond. Therefore, I am surprised that you could select such a vagabond husband." Does Krishna have a sense of humor or what? That's where we get ours from. Whatever sense of humor we have, this is just a reflection of Krishna's. "Besides this, I am not very much polished, even in social etiquette. A person should be satisfied with one wife. But you see that I have married many times, and I have more than 16,000 wives. I cannot please all of them as a polished husband. My behavior with them is not very nice, and I know that you are very conscious of it. I sometimes create a situation with my wives which is not very happy. Because I was trained in a village in my childhood, I am not well acquainted with the etiquette of urban life. I do not know the way to please a wife with nice words and behavior. And from practical experience, it is found that any woman who follows my way or becomes attracted by me is ultimately left to cry for the rest of her life. Dwarkadish ki jai. In Vrindavan, many gopis were attracted to me, and now I have left them, and they are living but are simply crying for me in separation. I have heard from Akur and Uddhava that since I left Vrindavan, all my coward boyfriends, the gopis and Radharani, and my foster father, Nanda Maharaj, are simply crying constantly for me. I have left Vrindavan for good, and am now engaged with the queens in Dwarka. But I am not well behaved with any of you. So he can very easily understand that I have no steadiness of character. I am not a very reliable husband. The net result of being attracted to me is to acquire a life of bereavement only. What do you think is going on in Rukmini's mind right now? You see the build-up. My dear beautiful princess, you may also know that I am always penniless. Just after my birth, I was carried penniless to the house of Nanda Maharaj, and I was raised just like a cowherd boy. Although my foster father possessed many hundreds of thousands of cows, I was not the proprietor of even one of them. I was simply entrusted with taking care of them and tending them, but I was not the proprietor. Here also I am not the proprietor of anything, but I am always penniless. There is no cause to lament for such a penniless condition. I possess nothing in the past, so why should I lament that I do not possess anything at present? This is instruction for us. We born with nothing, and we're going to leave this world with nothing. So don't lament in between. You may note also that my devotees are not very opulent. They also are very poor in worldly goods. Persons who are very rich, possessing worldly wealth, are not interested in devotion to me or Krishna consciousness. On the contrary, when a person becomes penniless, whether by force or by circumstances, he may become interested in me if he gets the proper opportunity. Persons who are proud of their riches, even if they are offered association with my devotees, do not take advantage of consciousness of me. In other words, the poorer class of men may have some interest in me, but rich men have no interest. I think, therefore, that your selection of me was not very intelligent. You appear very intelligent, trained by your father and brother, but ultimately you have made a great mistake in selecting your life's companion. But there is no harm. The mistake can still be rectified. And it is better late than never. You are at liberty to select a suitable husband who is actually an equal to you in opulence, family tradition, wealth, beauty, education, in all respects. So, it's time for RT. But who would like to hear the conclusion of this? Yes? So what do we do? Do we keep reading or do we have a kirtan? I'll leave it up to you all. Should we keep reading? Yeah? It's up to you all. I am neutral. Who wants kirtan? Okay, so let's do the kirtan. Hare Krishna. Hare Bhav.